America and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's We Can. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo Nandolfo, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Sologi. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Yeah. Patrick's out right today this week because he just had to, like, reinstall all the shit on his computer, and he needs his Final Fantasy 14 fix, so...
Yeah. That, and apparently the reinstall did not actually take properly, so yeah.
Yeah, that's also that.
Hooray, Microsoft.
Yeah. So this week, some shit went down, as usual. Most of it happened involving our current president, although, oddly enough, he is not our asshole of the week, even though he gave us not one, not two, but three reasons why he probably could have been.
Well, he's an honorary asshole of the week every week.
Yeah.
He's an asshole of the term.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on top of that, we also got a sort of a kind of important decision that came out of Supreme Court this week. It's kind of convoluted, so we kind of have to explain it to you, because on the one hand, it sounds bad, but on the other hand, not quite as bad as you might think it is. Peacocks in Canada are really stupid, and you're going to find out why.
And they're really dangerous.
Oh, yes, they are very dangerous birds. HBO is still sucking that Game of Thrones teat, and are fixing to make a new one. Dolly Parton is teaming up with Netflix. And did you like Joker from Suicide Squad? No? Well, too fucking bad.
Yep, because you're going to get more of them. Yay.
Yeah. All that and more on this episode of Let's We Can. So, fucking hell. Okay, so, Phil, why don't you start us off this week? What were you up to?
So, I finished Still Bright. That just happened, like, maybe half hour ago, so, yeah, I'm going to get that done. Good book. Now, I'm really irritated, because there's no third book, and I have to wait for that to actually get released, so... God damn it. On the other hand, we're still waiting for book three of The Kink Killer, so I guess it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Hurry the fuck up, Patrick.
Now you know how, you know...
Yeah.
Song of Ice and Fire fans have been feeling for the last...
Yeah.
10, 15 some odd years.
Yeah, that book's never coming out, folks.
Yeah, he's so. Probably going to die before...
Yeah, so there's that. Also been watching some Mythbusters, going through the 2015 season. I don't know, I think that's season 8 or season 9, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. I just did the episode where, what were they doing? Oh yeah, they were testing some gun myths on whether you could reload quickly or that kind of fun stuff. It's not bad, but you could tell that they had a whole lot more budget than they knew what to do with, because they've had a lot of those special guest episodes which make no real sense. So yeah, it's all right, but meh. I've been playing in the past 2 weeks. I think I've been playing more good games than I have in a good long time. Jesus Christ.
Ooh.
Well, there was Horizon Chase Turbo, which was great. Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, which is also really good. I got my code for Blunt's Day and Curse of the Moon, which was way better than I expected it would be. That's the little retro prequel that just became a bonus for people who backed it. And it really feels like a spiritual successor to Castlevania 3. It's got that kind of vibe to it. As far as visuals go, you got multiple characters as well you can switch between. What else? Oh, yeah, the music is excellent. It's a solid little game of about, looks like it's about eight or nine levels. So, yeah, good.
Yeah, it looks real nice. I like the sort of monotone color of the main character.
Yeah.
But a lot of the bosses look like they're out of, like, Shovel Knight. Like, yeah, that kind of 16-bit, high-resolution kind of sprite work.
Cool. Yeah.
Which kind of stands out a little bit, but also looks really cool.
Yeah, it does.
And they're a lot less obtuse as Castlevania bosses.
Yeah, these are usually pretty easy to figure out. So, yeah, you can. And there's two ways to play. It's like you have the veteran mode, which is like Castlevania 1, where you get knocked back if you get hit. So, yeah, you'll probably be falling into holes a lot using that one.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's also the casual mode, which just gives you infinite lives and doesn't knock you back. So, yeah. Whichever which way you wanted to play, and go for it. And I've also been playing Shaq Fu.
Yeah, the new one that just came out.
Yeah. It's freaking great.
I would hope so. Of course, compared to the last one, I mean...
Yeah, well, the bar had been set fairly low. But, yeah, this has kind of exceeded all of my expectations. It's actually a really solid side-scrolling beat-em-up in the, you know, mm-hmm. as traditional side... As it could be. And it's also incredibly self-aware. So it's like a mm-hmm. beat-em-up meets Deadpool. So it's, yeah, it's great. I've played through about two or three levels so far, so I'm going to continue playing that, and maybe my opinion will change. But so far, I've been really enjoying that. And I'm looking forward to the Barack Fu DLC. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so instead of playing as Shaq, you can play as Barack Obama. So,
yep.
Win.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And apart from that, well, I've just been getting ready for E3, because that's technically...
Yeah, that starts Tuesday.
Tomorrow, technically.
It starts tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, technically it starts tomorrow, but like the big...
Yeah, the floor opens to Wednesday. Wednesday, Tuesday, yeah.
No, Tuesday, Tuesday 12th, isn't it? Shows. Yeah, it's the 12th, isn't it?
Yeah, those are the last Tuesday. Of the shows. And then Wednesday is when the floor opens, and that goes to Friday, so...
So as you can imagine, we're all kind of gearing up for that, which is just sort of a way for letting you know we're probably not going to have a show next week.
yeah, don't expect a show next week, so yeah. Because,
and no, Dan Reb isn't going to be there either.
Unfortunately, no.
We would say unfortunately, but he's like, fuck no, I'm not going.
Well, Bethesda didn't invite him, so hey.
Yeah.
So there. Maybe, lifting 40 beer steins was probably a bad idea, but... but anyways.
Now, are we going to start hearing more scandalous stories about the after parties?
Oh, I'm sure.
Like we've basically been hearing the last couple years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure more and more of that stuff will start coming up. So it kind of sort of gets started tomorrow with EA. They have their keynote tomorrow at 2 Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see how they handle the Anthem, reveal, gameplay, announcement, whatever they're going to do.
Yeah,
I have a feeling this is going to be a historic E3.
Yeah, it's shaping up to be.
There's like on top of the fact that they're giving us not only some reveals, but also for like some release dates and stuff for a handful of really like long in development anticipated titles. But, people have been saying that we're getting close to the last year or two for the PS4, so.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm looking forward to it, and yeah. We'll see what happens tomorrow. So,
all right.
How about you, Teresa?
Oh, I have been doing some audiobook listening. I've been listening to The Adventures of Odysseus, which is nice and gory and succinct.
Yeah, it's the story of the Odyssey. I mean, mm-hmm. people know, people still remember the Odyssey, right? It's Homer.
They handle it better.
It's Homer, where Cyclops comes from, and sirens.
Penis, yep.
And the thing where he like gets into an island made up of nothing but women and has sex with them for 3 months straight.
Yeah, there's that part too.
He was married too, by the way.
Oh, he certainly was, yes. Yes. So, yeah, I've been listening to that and, of course, letting my youngling listen as well because, you gotta know this crap.
Yeah, gonna really pay off when you get into high school literature class, just telling you.
Yeah, and I mean, it's somewhat relevant to kids nowadays if they read young adult fiction.
Oh, but yeah.
Rick Riordan is doing all the myths.
Yeah, it's pretty much his stock and trade now.
Yep, and he's damn good at it, too. I mean, really, I want to find some of his earlier works to see if he was ever a not good writer. You know, not
well,
bad.
I mean, he
but
was.
Green.
He became famous from, fuck, what was it called? The first big series he did.
Percy Jackson?
Yeah, Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
Which was basically a Harry Potter ripoff.
Well, it's Greek.
No, myth. It was a Harry Potter ripoff.
Well,
I can guarantee you.
Somewhat. Somewhat, with Camp Half-Blood instead of Hogwarts. Yeah, see that. But yeah, I've been listening to that, and that goes way too quick because, man, they sure didn't get overly verbose with this one, with this translation. And then I've been playing Pokemon Quest. I hated it for the first 2 minutes, and then I was okay. So that's pretty cool. I wanted to be playing Sushi Striker. When did that come out? Yesterday? No,
today.
Tuesday. Today? Was it today? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. It is currently on hold for me at the library, so whenever they ship it from the other library to mine, I will be playing that. But yeah, I can't do $50 for a game right now. That doesn't, you know, so I'll play the demo for a little bit, and hopefully I'll have more to say about that next week. But yeah, other than that, wrapping up the school year, that finished a couple days ago.
Yeah, man, you know, that I bet you the little guy is relieved from that.
Yeah, he gets all of 68 days to celebrate before going back. That includes weekends.
What? When does he have to go back?
August 15th.
Yeah, that's pretty close to what I used to have to do. Remember when we were younger and we went back in September?
Yeah, I do. I remember 2 years ago when they went back, like, right before Labor Day. Not anymore. Yeah, I really think that it's because they have more testing for more metrics. I really think that's why they've extended the school year. So that plus,
I mean, they won't, you know, come up with the, like, they can't, for whatever reason, they will not just give in and do, like, the whole year-round school shit, but.
Right, and, you know.
Which would make it so much easier, and.
It would. And this is so off topic, but I would prefer that, and, like, maybe have 2 weeks off, you know, every 8 weeks, or, you know, 3 weeks for Christmas or something, you know, that'd be all right. But, you know, here we are for now, at least.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, it may just be that they're going to mirror what happens in college as well.
Yeah.
So, but.
And yeah, college is just in such good shape in the United States right now.
Right. Right. Well, you can go year around. I did when I finished it up. And still paying 14 years later. Still paying. That's something you can't get away from. Oh, and by the way, people who live in community law states, if your spouse has college debt and you divorce your spouse, you get half of their college. Well, other than that, the only other thing that I've been doing is I did finish up Agretzko Season 1, and that ended in a way that I didn't expect. So if they do a Season 2, that's great. If, you know, if they – it seems like they left it in a place where they don't have to go back and do a season two, you know, but, it would stand on its own.
Yeah, but they're definitely going to make one.
They should, because they did well with that. They did really well with that.
Yeah.
I like a little bit of the fourth wall breaking by, you know, telling her, oh, you look like a cute Sanrio character. Yeah, I get that a lot.
Itch, I wish you were dead.
Right. But that's all for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, Chris, what about you? Well, I mean, I kind of know one of the things you're doing, but.
Yeah, so this week has all been crunch for E3, trying to write up all these preview articles and work getting in the way of that. So I'm working on my Sony article right now, which thankfully they've announced a bunch of stuff already. Detailed parts of the press conference, which is nice. And it was nice looking into things like, hey, who's all announced their, like, E3 lineups? Teresa saw the second third-party one. Like, the rest has two companies.
Yep.
And it's like, because I looked up everybody, it's like, Activision just has two games. It's like, NISA? It's like, nope. They announced it the day after the article went out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, great. And then just announcements keep coming. Hitman 2 was announced for November, which is great. So there's a fall game I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
That's not out in September. What else? Dead or Alive 6 just got announced. Which is real weird. And yeah, that's out early 2019.
Mm-hmm.
What else got announced? Sony announced, they said basically, you know, we're not going to have that pre-show that a bunch of people didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to announce a new thing every day leading up to E3. And I think the first day was Tetris Effect.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of this. It's like...
It's the new game from Enhance, which is led by Tetsuya Mizuguchi,
mm-hmm.
creator of Rez and Luminous.
Yep.
So, yeah. Hey, you can make a new Tetris game. It's like, all right, it's fucking Rez Tetris.
Yeah, it's basically... It's basically... Epileptic Seizure the game.
Yep. Yeah, it's... I've watched that trailer quite a few times because they just have a narrator talking about the Tetris effect, which is a scientifically proven thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of playing that game so much, you just start seeing the shapes falling. Like, if you just look at the wall.
Yeah.
The wall, or while you're sleeping, you have dreams about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into a song that was really great, and everybody's like, what's this song? I need this song. It's like, it's made just for the game, because it's the Rez and Luminous people. They make their own music.
Yeah.
And in the end, it's all Tetris still. You can play normal Tetris. I think they added a new feature called Zone.
Yeah.
Which allows you to kind of freeze the action and potentially be able to save yourself if you fuck up real bad. But they also have a ton of normal stuff. Normal modes and such in there. And yeah, that's on PS4 and PSVR. So that'll be real nice to play in PSVR, because there's a lot of stages, like 30 stages in it.
Yeah.
And they have lots of really interesting backdrops. And I assume story and all that sort of stuff. So it's like Rez, Child of Eden meets Tetris, which is not something I expected ever.
And it works.
But I like the Tetris company is... allowing there to be weird Tetris now.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Puyo Puyo Tetris, which was just crazy.
Yeah.
And now it's this. It's like, okay, here's Tetris for potheads.
Yeah. Well, yep. I mean, Ubisoft did Tetris Ultimate and managed to fuck up Tetris somehow. So,
yeah.
So I'm guessing can't really go too far wrong giving it to Tetsuya Mizuguchi.
And I'm guessing Mr. Pagetov is on board with this somewhere.
I don't know if they talked about that part of it.
If it's Tetris, he has to sign off on it because.
Yeah, well, I think it's the Tetris official. Company is independent of him.
Yeah.
They kind of own the whole thing.
I gotcha.
He doesn't really have to be involved unless whoever has the license specifically wants to sign a deal with him.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, that's. That's going to be out later this year. That's going to be interesting. They had a date for Days Gone, which is out February 22nd.
2019, yep.
Yep. That'll be interesting to see how it turns out. I was following a bit of the Game Informer cover month stuff, and that looks pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Not the most original game, but it looks interesting for what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to do like a Sons of Anarchy survival in the not really zombie apocalypse, they're called freakers.
They're not dead. The zombie apocalypse.
Well, they're not dead, but they're essentially like this new form of human that gets affected by this stuff. But it also infects animals as well.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the bear. But they also have mountain lions, like ravens, wolves will get infected with that stuff. And they just get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Today's announcements was Twin Mirror, which is the new game from Dontnod, the creators of Life is Strange.
Yep.
And it's published by Bandai Namco, and it looks pretty cool. It's essentially going to be in that mold of narrative-focused adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
And seems like very much in the same style as like Life is Strange, but on a much bigger budget.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to go for that kind of simpler texturing environment design.
Although the thing is, I got to wonder, are they going to be able to still effectively do that with the better budget? Because, you know, for all of Life is Strange's faults, that kind of aesthetic was kind of one of the reasons I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is kind of going for a different thing.
Yeah.
It's very much got a little bit more of like a psychological thriller kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it looks neat.
Hmm.
Yeah, that'll be nice to see. I think tomorrow is... I was trying to look up what this... Let's see, where do I have it? Yeah. They put up like hints for what everything is.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday is a new PSVR game,
hmm.
Which will be nice to see. And on Sunday is an eagerly anticipated game comes to PSVR,
hmm.
Which I think might be Fallout 4 VR. Because Bethesda probably wants to get that on PSVR since that's the biggest market for mm-hmm. VR stuff, and that would be a big game.
Hmm.
I don't know how well it works there, because that game is very resource-intensive on a PS4 Pro without having to get it up to the high frame rate requirements for VR.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have to get downgraded quite a bit. But yeah, or maybe it's something else. I don't know. But yeah, that's been pretty nice to follow. What else was announced? Oh yeah, Avalanche announced their new game, Generation Zero.
Hmm.
They're self-publishing it. It's set in Sweden in the 1980s. I don't think it might be set modern day, but as if robots invaded Sweden in the 1980s.
Ah. What's the name of this game again?
Generation Zero.
And who's it doing it?
Avalanche Studios, the Just Cause team.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's that specific team, but it might be the team that did The Hunter, which was the hunting game, like realistic mm-hmm. hunting game that they made themselves. And that's The Hunter, as in no spaces in there.
Mm.
Which is a weird thing to do, but I guess whatever. They're from Sweden. They made a game in Sweden. They're making a game in Sweden, and that's mm-hmm. pretty neat. Yeah, so E3 continues. It never ended.
Yeah.
They just announced things as people realize, you know what, we don't really need E3 to announce all this stuff. We can just announce it leading up to it. Like Nintendo announced a bunch of Pokemon stuff, or the Pokemon company did.
Mm-hmm.
There's that Pokemon Quest. We got the Let's Go Pokemon games.
And then, of course, there's the Pokemon for the Switch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. those are all for the Switch, but they also got the mainline one. That's coming out next year now, not this year. They push that, but they're making weird, like, remakes of Pokemon Yellow, but with, like, a bunch of Pokemon Go stuff in it. It'll have connectivity to Pokemon Go mm-hmm. as well, which I'm guessing that means Teresa's going to get it.
Yep. yep.
Did you even ask?
Yeah. They even have the weird Pokemon ball throwing mechanic in there.
You know, I don't know that I'm going to do that because my TV cost $1,000.
Well, I was just doing the actual like screen mechanic. But you can also do it motion controlled as well, which is also a weird thing. Yeah, that game looks neat, but I'm curious to see how it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Being like a weird light Pokemon game.
Yeah, see, I agree. That's going to be another one that I'm going to borrow it from the library before I plunk down money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, there's the two flavors as well, because obviously they do that with almost every single Pokemon game they can.
Yes.
Yeah, because they can get more money that way.
Yeah.
And they do. Oh, they do.
Hey, it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I have a great idea to double our... our sales. Really?
Not only that, we're going to have it connected to Pokemon Go, so people can transfer, what is it, Pokemon? You can transfer between them.
You see, the only problem that I see with the main game is going out with your Switch.
Yeah.
I find that to be hard to do, and it's also a little, I get a little nervous about it, you know, because I'm afraid I'm going to drop it.
Yeah.
But,
or somebody's just going to run and be like, yoink, taking it.
She lives in Chicago, dude, so.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I am not taking that thing into the city. Are you kidding me?
It's almost like a giant phone.
Like it is, tablet. But it's really unwieldy. It's painful to use the Switch handheld. I find it to be literally painful.
Yeah, that's so, why it stays in the dock for me.
Yes, it's wisest that way.
Yeah, I only pull it out when I want to do something real quick and not have the Switch inputs on the TV.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's a dock. It's a console.
Yeah.
I don't even have commutes that would be conducive to taking it out.
Mm-hmm.
No. The only time ours comes out is it gets played in the car, and I'm the one driving, so I ain't benefiting.
Yeah. Yeah, I would really like to see a Switch Lite that's like Vita sized and has the Joy-Cons, you know, fully attached.
Yeah.
And
I agree with
give
you.
Nintendo time, they'll make one.
Oh, they totally will. They do about 50 iterations of every console when handheld, you know?
Yeah, I'm potentially looking to get a 2DS XL because they just announced one that is, I think, GameStop exclusive that includes, what is it, Link Between Worlds installed on it. It's a Zelda one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that could be the final 3DS I get.
Because,
my current one is partially broken.
Mm.
The shoulder buttons don't really work,
mm.
which is really hard for games that require it, like the new Metroid.
Yes.
it's like, oh, this game is partially broken now. Or it's much harder to do basic things, like rolling up the walls.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a crucial thing to get around.
Yes.
I like presenting that idea, the Switch Lite. People are like, but it doesn't switch. You can't call it the Switch if it doesn't switch. It's like...
You can call it whatever the F you want.
It's like when people get mad when I say they should have other Nintendo characters in Mario Kart. But you can't call it Mario if they're not just Mario characters.
They like, put Link in there. Fuck them.
It's what? Like, it's still fucking Mario Kart. It's his game.
Yep.
It's the brand. It's not Smash Kart. That'd be the stupidest fucking name. Use the fucking brand, Mario Kart. It's like the reason why they should put like Kirby and Link and all them in Mario Party. So you don't have to have fucking Toad and, well, you could have Toad, but you know, you don't have to put all the minor Mario characters to change things up. That's the thing that Nintendo should be doing. It's like, it worked out really well for Mario Kart 8.
Mm-hmm.
Once they were in there, nobody cared that, you know, you had Animal Crossing characters or Link in there, or you know,
right.
various stages based on other games. It's like, it's because it was a great game. Nintendo people should, they weirdly like Smash so much, but revolted the idea of Nintendo doing that with their other games.
Mm-hmm.
It seems really backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's E3 prep. I got some snacks in energy drinks ready for the next couple days.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I don't have to necessarily worry about food constantly. Because some of these press conferences are put up right back to back in really annoying ways. But we do get some breaks. I think Monday is going to be nice because Ubisoft is at 1 and Sony's at... Or no, Ubisoft is at 4 and Sony's at 9.
Yeah.
So it was like,
and we're supposed to, and this is the rumors saying, we're supposed to hear something about Cyberpunk 2077 before Tuesday. So
yeah.
I would imagine that might be Microsoft because they debuted The Witcher 3 there.
Yeah.
So that would be likely, or the PC Gaming Show.
And EA,
it's not even on this schedule because nobody really gives a shit about the PC game.
I'm going to be very interested to see EA's presentation this year because
seems likely that we know pretty much everything they're going to have.
Yeah, it's like mostly just how are they going to present it because
last year was great.
Yeah, it was not. It was not a good year for EA's image.
Yeah, that and they had YouTubers like presenting things.
Mm-hmm.
And
failing badly.
They're not great at that stuff. And it's like, whatever, that's not really their job normally.
Yeah.
They're doing, you know, fixed video, not doing live streams.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not doing live press events.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they had that weird Battlefront 2 match that took like 30 minutes. And there's like, what the fuck is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah, that'll be nice. And kind of in all this crunching stuff, I decided to just play a bunch of clickers.
Mm-hmm.
I found a bunch of new ones on Steam. There's Wild West Saga. Guess where that one's set? It's in the Wild West.
Yeah.
It has some nice stuff in it. The sort of mechanic of starting over again is pretty nice. You kind of move to a new town. It's the concept of going west.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of start over every time, but you get like a multiplier to your stuff, so you get higher and higher numbers.
Mm.
But they also have these cards that you collect, which increase have like a percentage increase on whichever of the businesses you're buying. And it has some nice stuff to it. That's been a fun little thing to mess around with. Holiday City. First I read it as Holiday, but it's Holiday City Reloaded, which is a kind of a standard clicker. You're buying businesses, but then you also get these resource production facilities that gives you completely separate types of currencies, which you use to spend on these different things, that some of which will just increase multiplier on the production stuff for the currencies. Some will shorten the timers and then start multiplying your overall money increase. Then it just has all these weird little extra stuff to worry about. And it requires you to level up, which is just kind of a thing that happens as you play more of it. It's real weird, but it's pretty nice. The weird thing is I also grabbed Wild West Saga on mobile. And the nice thing that those two games do on PC is that when you start them up, they say, hey, do you want this muted or do you want to have sound on?
Hmm.
And it's like, oh, that's real nice. That's like what mobile games should be doing.
Yeah.
Well, Wild West Saga doesn't do that. which I always notice when I start it up and I hear like a neon hum is how they do their logo. It's like this neon hum that comes on. It's like, really? Your PC version does this way better.
Mm-hmm.
But that game's also in early access, so they've changed some things. So I hope at some point they get that in there. But it's weird that the PC version mentions watching ads, which is not in there. That's in the mobile version. Mm. You can watch ads like double the currency you have from that you earn while you're not playing, that sort of stuff. And so it's kind of a weird mess in that way, because it's kind of the same game, but it has mentions ads on the PC version that's not in the PC version.
Hmm.
Stuff like that. Let's see. I also got. Oh, I got to look up the full name. Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms. It's a D&D clicker game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this one's nice because the stuff you're buying are levels for different characters. And you set up squads of them, and depending on the like campaign you're on, they have different formations. So you try and set them up specific ways. So like one character will buff damage on everybody behind them. So you want to put them in the front. There might be some that are tank characters that you might want to put also up front for damage purposes. Some will heal characters around them, so you want to put them close to your like tanks, that sort of stuff. It has a real nice bit of strategy to it. And that one's really, and you can also click on enemies to do damage to them. It's real nice game. They did a nice event that had some real hard stuff that I didn't get most of the way there, but I ended up getting a new character, which was nice. Though the character is kind of a skin of a different character, so you had to, I can switch between them in a campaign. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was real nice to play like this weird like D&D campaign game that's also a clicker. And that one's actually pretty nice. Also, I downloaded Eden Obscura on my phone, which is Pixel Junk Eden on mobile. It's free, and it's really good. They did a really good job translating that game to a touch screen. So essentially, when you're on a plant, you tap, and it'll jump out with the like rope. It's like a Spider-Man kind of rope and swings around.
Yeah.
And as you hit enemies, they drop pollen, and you just keep swinging around. When you want to jump, you swipe in that direction, and you jump off in that direction. And you kind of have the ability to do a few jumps. So if you kind of mess up the angle, you can kind of correct yourself pretty easily. It's pretty forgiving. The only kind of exception to that is you can go off screen pretty easily, and then you just respawn back the last like plant you were touching. I've gotten through the tutorial, and the music is great. It has the same music, but the stages are a bit simpler than the original, because the original just had, like, here's a stage. It has five of these, I forget what they're called. These, like, ultimate plants you're trying to feed pollen and grow them. And you kind of did that once, and then it kicked you out, and you had to go back in and get to the next one, sort of find all five in each stage. This one seems to be more focused on just the one at a time. But other than that, it's introduced some of the more complex enemies that you have to get to that will cut your rope, that sort of stuff. Or you have to jump into them to break them up, that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. And that's definitely not a game I can play out in public because I have to have the music. That soundtrack was done by Bion, a Japanese, I think, electronica artist. He now works at Q Games. He's done soundtracks for a few more of their games. And yeah, it's real nice. It's weird going so long without any like mainline Pixel Junk games. Now we got two all of a sudden. And they're both really good. So that's been nice, and I think that's been pretty much about it.
All right.
How about you, Brandon?
Okay, well, so first and foremost, I finished Mass Effect Andromeda, which was kind of, I mean, it has a really awesome ending. Like, it all, there's like the final battle that you have is a real nail-biter. And, you know, it all wraps up very well, and there's kind of a nice epilogue bit that you can do afterwards. But it's also kind of bittersweet, because although they give the story a very solid conclusion, it's really obvious that they were still intending to add on, like, some DLC and stuff for afterwards.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's kind of sad because for all the flaws that this game had, it was still a Mass Effect game. And Mass Effect games, you know, they really make you care about their characters. And it's kind of hard to let them go at the end like that. But, you know, also, the fact, well, actually, I can't talk about that little part because that spoils it, but because I do actually want people to play this, despite the flaws it has. And I still curse EA to this day for basically putting that game out to die like they did. But, yeah, so I finished that. So pretty much my gaming has been taken up. So it's with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch. And, I mean, what can I say? It's Mario Kart.
Yep.
It's the best version of Mario Kart to come out. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. You know, there's all kinds of stuff you can do. You know, Rainbow Road is always awesome.
Yeah, the Rainbow Road in that version is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes all in on the HD graphics.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, pretty much every Mario Kart game, Rainbow Road has always been kind of the attraction, like the sort of the star, you know, that stage and whatever its music is going to be.
Yeah.
I remember like the music for the original Rainbow Road for Super Mario Kart was probably one of my favorite pieces of video game music ever. You don't agree?
Actually, I do agree. It's actually one of the better stuff that that they've done.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so other than that, been you know, doing my usual reading regimen. I finished Jack L. Chalker's Midnight at the Well of Souls. That book is a serious mindfuck. Because basically, I think I may have very briefly talked about the sort of Well World series. Basically, the Well World is this giant, like, planet-sized supercomputer that's divided into, like, these several dozen hexagon-shaped areas, each of which is inhabited by its own species, its own animals, its own, like, technology, level of technology, and, like, physics. And a lot of the, on top, there are those who are native to Wellworld, and there are also those who are what they call extracts, or no, not extracts, I think it's entrants, which are, you know, people who are not on the Wellworld, who cross through one of the gates into Wellworld and sort of woke up as being one of the species on the Wellworld. And then later on, you find out that basically Wellworld is a god game by a very, like, super advanced alien species that got so far advanced in science that they got bored and just decided to create a planet to play basically a civilization chess type game for it. So I finished that. So really, other than that, I've talked before about I've wanted to sort of spread out in the city to sort of see some of the good restaurants and stuff we've got here in Macon. I found a couple good ones recently. I found one called Parish on Cherry, which is it's a place on Cherry Street that serves up the cuisine of Louisiana. So gumbo, jambalaya, crawfish, barbecue shrimp, that type of stuff. Good shit, you know.
Yeah.
And also, I finally found a good taco place called Rick's Taco. It's called Ricky's Taco Place.
Hey.
Self-explanatory.
They serve tacos al pastor. Hmm. You guys know what that is?
No, I don't. Okay. Tell me.
You don't? Okay. You know what a gyro is?
Oh, hell yeah, I do.
Or kebab or shawarma.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Mexican version. It's a taco instead of a pita bread.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's unnervingly similar to gyros, even though they were developed in completely different parts of different hemispheres. But uh-huh. Yeah, it's good shit. They also serve up Chicago style hot dogs there too. So,
I'm skeptical, but okay.
But yeah, so that Netflix. Still getting mileage out of that Netflix subscription. They got some new documentary stuff. They've got occult crimes, because I love true crime shit. And this is a series about crimes that are basically related to weird religious sects or satanic groups, you know. Like Order of the Solar Temple, or this weird Mormon offshoot called the Children of Thunder that killed a bunch of people in Utah. The Chicago Rippers. Does that sound familiar to you, Teresa?
No. What's
Don't know
that
the Shikari.
one?
It were these four dudes who worked for this construction company who would pick up prostitutes and then, like, cut off their breasts and use them for satanic rituals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yuck. Yuck.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, good shit. Also, the I believe the second season for the Castlevania anime is supposed to come out next month.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. Good.
And other than that, nothing really much. Other than that, in the next few months, I'm going to start furthering my education. So.
Nice.
Congrats.
Yeah. Well, I do it all. It's going to be all at home. So. And it's all at my own pace, so I won't have to. go out to a campus or anything. So it's cool.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think that's it. You guys, anybody want to add anything else before we move on?
I'm good.
Just that I found one of those taco places about 10 minutes away.
Like, well, fuck. All right. Well then, I guess it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And as we've said here many times on Let's Weekend and on Day Zero, pretty much all of Smash Pad in general are kind of Japanophiles to one degree or another.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. If you've been in gaming as long as we have, there's really no way you can't be.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, some of the shit you play is just would be completely incomprehensible. Probably one of my, like, as far as, like, you know, sort of offbeat Japanese game franchises that hasn't shown up in often in the U.S. as has in Japan, but has a couple of times and in some pretty memorable ways, is the Mystical Ninja series.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Ishikawa Goemon, I think it's the 7th. Or 8th, one of those. If you've ever played like an offbeat Japanese, like say a platformer or an RPG or whatever, you'll recognize Goemon. He's like the dude in like the orange ninja suit with like weird kabuki, rosy kabuki cheeks and like big frizzy blue hair, almost like an afro. He fights with a pipe.
Yeah.
That like has a chain in it, so he can like whip people with it. I particularly was a big fan of Mystical Ninja starring Goemon for the Nintendo 64. I freaking loved that game, even though it could be frustrating as all hell. And there was a lot of backtracking in that game, too. Especially that one part where you had to get a particular sea cucumber for a particular side quest that you need to go further, and the dude who had it would sell it to you for, I think it was like 900 something won or yen or whatever. Well, whatever. So obviously Ishikawa Goemon is a, you know, the character in the game, of course, is sort of like a folk hero in Japan. He also was a real person. Ishikawa Goemon was indeed a real person. He was believed to have been born sometime in 1558, and he died in 1594. He was originally first created. He was first appearance in the historical annals is in a biography of Toyotomi Hideyoshi. The Shogun Toyotomi, in a biography of him in 1642, where he's referred to simply as a thief. As his sort of figure grew, he began to take on this sort of appearance of like a Robin Hood type character. You know, he would rob rich nobles and landowners and then give their stuff to the poor. Mm-hmm. That type of stuff. He was said to have been a ninja. He was supposedly to have been trained under Momochi Sandayu, who was like a master of Iga ninjutsu, when he was 15. But supposedly he had to flee after Momochi discovered that Goemon was having an affair with one of his mistresses.
Uh-oh.
Although he did steal his teacher's prized sword before he fled. Then he moved to the neighboring Kansai region where he started a band of thieves, robbing the rich feudal landlords, the merchants, clerics. And then he would give, you know, share his loot with the oppressed peasants. He also supposedly is said to have attempted a failed poisoning attempt on Oda Nobunaga. Hmm. Although that's sort of up in the air. People know that, you know, there was a failed poisoning attempt on Nobunaga because there was probably a million of them, but... Yeah. Whether or not Goemon is involved, nobody knows. But what we do know is that at some point, he and his group got really pissed off at Toyotomi Hideyoshi. Probably not without good reason, because Hideyoshi was kind of an asshole. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of the shoguns were assholes. Tokugawa was an asshole. But Hideyoshi was the guy who actually... criminalized Catholic Christianity in Japan. So
that qualifies as assholery.
Yeah. So what happened is that Goemon attempted to assassinate Toyotomi Hideyoshi, and he failed. And so he was captured. He was tortured. He was tried, and he was taken to the Nanzenji Temple in Kyoto, which is still there. And he was put into a giant pot and he was boiled alive.
Okay.
That's... Now, there are a couple of different conflicting accounts of how exactly this whole event went. There's three main ones, and I'm getting these off of Wikipedia. So the first one says that he tried to assassinate Hideyoshi to avenge the death of his wife, Otaki. And supposedly they had also kidnapped Gobe, which was Hideyoshi's toddler son. So he sneaked into Fushimi Castle and entered, got as far as Hideyoshi's bedroom, but then accidentally knocked a bell off the table, which, you know, woke up the guards. And of course, he was sentenced to death by being boiled alive in an iron cauldron, along with Gobe, his son. But as the story supposedly goes, Goemon managed to save the life of his son by holding him up over his head while he boiled to death. Yeah. There's another story that says he wanted to kill Hideyoshi because, well, he was an asshole. Like I said, a despot.
Yeah.
But he was detected by a mystical incense burner when he entered Hideyoshi's room. And supposedly not just him, but his entire family was also boiled alive. And then finally, there's a third one that says that at first he tried to save his son from the heat by holding him high above, but then suddenly plunged him deep into the bottom of the cauldron to kill him as quickly as possible. Then he stood with the corpse of the boy held high in air in defiance of his enemies until he eventually succumbed to the pain of his injuries and sank into the pot. To this day, not even like the actual the date of his death is completely certain. The traditional is October 8th in 1594, when he was around 35 or 36. Mostly the reason they used that is because it's like slightly after the middle of autumn in Japan, so it's sort of like it's got kind of like a bittersweet note to it.
Hmm.
You know, because it's autumn, the leaves are dying and all that stuff. And supposedly he wrote a death poem saying that no matter what, there shall always be thieves. There's a tombstone dedicated to him at the Daionian Temple in Kyoto. And his part of his legacy is that the large kettle-shaped bathtubs that you find in Japan are now called Goemon Boro, or Goemon Baths. Because Japan.
Because Japan.
So, of course, he became sort of a really popular figure in Japan. He's pretty... He's a very regular character in kabuki dramas. Usually you can tell it's him because he's usually the one with the giant frizzy hair. You know, hence his appearance in the Mystical Ninja series. Yeah. I'm guessing the reason his hair looks like that is supposedly it's supposed to be like a top knot, but he doesn't cut it, so it just sort of frizzes out.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, he's, ever since then, you can find him in the Mystical Ninja, also known as the Gambare Goemon series. And of course, probably one of his most recent appearances was in Persona 5. He was one of the personas. Well, he was the persona for what was his name? The artsy dude with the glasses.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, hold on, I'll find it. But anyway, yeah. So he's a fairly common figure in Japan. He's sort of their Robin Hood character. And, that's just one of those things to let you know. Yusuke Kitagawa, that's his name.
Okay.
The character that he plays. His persona is Ishikawa Goemon, or more specifically, the, kabuki version of Ishikawa Goemon. That's been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. And now you're less stupid.
Yeah, leave it to Japan to take something horrific and turn it into iconography.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now it's time to start the show proper. And the first thing we got to do, of course, as always, is start with our asshole of the week. And again, like we said earlier, it is not Donald Trump, even though he gave us not one, not two, but three different instances where he very well could have been. No. Our asshole of the week is the sick fuck teacher from Idaho who brought out a snapping turtle in front of the kids and then fed it a sick puppy.
Yep. And he has been charged with misdemeanor animal cruelty.
Yep.
As a result. Now, this happened back in March, just now coming out. This is... It's a real shitty thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is messed up shit.
Yeah, I've seen there are people that back the teacher in this, like, oh, he's going to die anyway. It's like, then you put the dog down.
Yeah.
Put it down humanely and not feed it to a fucking snapping turtle. The turtle...
Kids watching.
Yeah,
kids watching.
Yeah, I don't know what the lesson was supposed to be with that. The teacher is an asshole, I guess.
Yeah, looks like pretty
much
that.
Yeah, so... And the way it all ended is that they had to euthanize the turtle because snapping turtles, I guess, are deemed invasive.
Mm-hmm.
So they killed the turtle as well.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah, so he's facing up to 6 months in jail and a $5,000 fine if convicted. Let's see, they assigned a special prosecutor to the case because the... previous one recused himself because of a conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest probably being I want to fucking strangle this prick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just... fucking hell, hurt. Man.
They really are.
I guess this is the town that was featured in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah. Fun fact.
Because that makes any difference.
So, yeah. Teresa, you got some things to say?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I do. Firstly, what the hell, dude? You're supposed to be a teacher. You know, you went to school. Wait, what went wrong?
Yeah.
You know, you can't, and then he killed a turtle, too?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't kill it, the state did.
Yeah.
Oh, the state did.
Animal control. Because, yeah. Again, it's an invasive species, so...
Is he going to be paying these children's therapy bills?
I hope so.
You know, at what point did he think that this was even close to being appropriate? There's so much wrong with this that I'm glad he's in jail.
It's like, and the dude's jail, a fucking sociopath, I guess.
It seems like it. And
he's
really,
a biology teacher from, like, I see, a junior high school.
He did this to junior high kids.
Yeah. So these kids were like 13, 14.
Oh, yeah. My God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a complete and utter psycho.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, look. Having, like, you know, a python or something and feeding it mice, you know, that's one thing.
Puppies are not even species appropriate food for a snapping turtle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We really need tougher animal cruelty laws.
Yeah, we do. And, again, this was in Idaho.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's not the Wild West.
No.
You know, we're supposed to be a civilized society. Yeah, this guy is never working again.
No.
You know? Unless PETA hires him.
Mm-hmm.
No, this occurred after school hours. So not in front of a full class of kids, but I guess some sort of demonstration, like a after school trip or something like
that. Yeah, I think it was like a extracurricular type thing.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it any less.
No, it doesn't make it any less horrifying.
Yeah,
graphic demonstration of the circle of life.
No.
There's not many instances where snapping turtles and puppies are interacting.
No.
Oh, my God.
All right, so we're not going to dwell on that because... Holy shit!
Well, because we might throw up. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, this is just... should not happen.
Yeah, so... to sort of give ourselves a fresher, we're going to move on to the Hero of the Week. And our Hero of the Week is the goalkeeper for a Tunisian soccer team. So, yeah. For those of you who don't know, it's currently Ramadan. And... or I think it may have ended recently.
I think this ended this week.
Yeah. And, of course, Ramadan, if you're Muslim during Ramadan, there's a couple things you're not supposed to do. Specifically, you're supposed to fast from sunup to sundown, abstain from food and drink and sex, you know, from sunup to sundown. Of course, pretty sure they'll allow you to... you know, break that if, like, you're dying of thirst or something. But obviously, if you're not allowed to eat between then and now, you can be feeling kind of, I don't know, a little weak during the midday.
Yeah, especially if you're an athlete.
Yeah. So their goalkeeper came up with a brilliant idea. Right around the time that sundown would happen during the games, their goalkeeper would fake an injury. So his teammates could go and break their Ramadan fast.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the idea of the coach.
Yeah.
Who came up with this idea. I think initially the goalkeeper didn't really understand at first.
Yeah.
Didn't stay down for the first time they tried this in a previous match. So the other thing is the World Cup is coming up, so they're playing friendly matches against some other teams. And, these matches are starting before sundown, and at the point where it starts to hit sundown, the coach has his goalkeeper just fake an injury and lie down on the ground so his teammates can sort of take a break and go get their, you know, drink and eat some food.
Mm-hmm.
So they can actually perform.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they can get their food in and not have to necessarily play the rest of the match, you know, starving and thirsty.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Possibly dehydrated.
Yeah.
And then the other team is in on this, too. It's sort of just a friendly agreement because it's not a serious match or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just, it's a nice thing. You don't see that often in sports.
Especially not in soccer, where it's a pretty much a fucking blood sport without the blood.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they were playing, let's see, Turkey and Portugal were the two matches that they did this in.
Yep.
That's a clever loophole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, the time of sunset, which they call, which is when iftar, the breaking of the fast, usually dates and water, begins for Muslims observing Ramadan. I guess they would just say it's iftar time.
Mm. Yep. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... BBC did an article about it, and the guy on Twitter, the goalkeeper, responded like with a winking emoji.
Mm-hmm.
He also tweeted, "I was hurt, bruv." laughing emojis. It's all right now. We know you're. Yeah, one of the other guys on the other team responded, "It's all right now. We know you were pretending."
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Ramadan is over, so they're going to be ready for the World Cup coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, now it's time for the proper show proper. And the first story we got is Volcán de Fuego, which is the big volcano in Guatemala, which, by the way, has quite a few volcanoes, it turns out.
Have you figured out what the name means? Volcán de Fuego is a volcano of fire.
Yep.
Yep. It erupted this week, and it killed over 100 people.
Yeah. 109, I think, is the current count, and yeah. they think there's about 200 people that are still missing.
Yeah. God. And the thing is about Guatemala, like, the whole, like, population of Guatemala is, like, a little over a couple million people, but it also has, like, it's one of those countries that has more volcanoes per capita than a lot of other countries on the map, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did not respond to the signs that this was happening fast enough.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing when you're surrounded by volcanoes, you kind of grow numb to it.
Could be.
Yeah, but they have, they say here, Eddie Sanchez, head of Guatemala's Institute of Volcanology. The people who were supposed to be informed were informed and not empowered to declare a state of emergency, a national emergency.
Yeah.
So it's like they, let the people know that we're supposed to know, and they did not do anything.
Nope.
Till after it hit, and it did a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Huge parts of the towns nearby just covered in ash.
Mm.
Yeah, and there are even stories of a few kids that were flown to Texas to be treated for severe burns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
so, yeah, this is...
That's awful.
Like the bad side of what was happening in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like, luckily, they knew ahead of time that it was likely to happen and got people out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also another volcano in Hawaii started acting up and have to get more people out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of volcanic activity. Didn't we talk about this last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is all the Pacific... Ring of Fire, I think it's called. Mm-hmm.
The Pacific Rim or something?
Yeah. That's where the Pacific tectonic plate is at, and that's just grinded on the other ones.
Yeah.
And that's where
eventually it's going to... Eventually, their volcano eruptions are kind of an inevitability. So. Yeah.
That's how many of the islands and land masses were formed.
Yep. But, yeah, so obviously that's terrible. We hope everybody in Guatemala stays safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll follow up to that next week. Our next story is just a barrel of stupidity.
Dumbass of the week.
Yeah, he was. This was an off-duty FBI agent who was at a nightclub in what state was this in?
Colorado.
Colorado. Of course, it'd be fucking Colorado. He was dancing at a nightclub, and then he attempted to do a somersault, backflip, and he kind of, as he did his backflip, his gun fell out of his pocket.
The gun that was just sitting in his belt.
Yeah, it was in his belt, and
it's
just,
like that the stupid thing where you have the gun tucked in the back of your pants on the belt.
Yeah,
And does it falls out, and he tries to pick it up real quick, and it just fucking fires it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It goes off, and it shoots some poor bastard in the leg.
Oh,
and isn't he the guy that kind of walked off with, like, "Isn't that my problem?"
Yeah, he tried to make it out like, "I didn't think anything happened." And yeah. The whole thing was caught on tape, too, yeah. So.
Figure the loud bang would probably be a good signal.
Yeah.
But, first of all, this needs to be known. I don't care if he was an off-duty FBI guy or not. Why the fuck was he carrying his gun with him into a nightclub?
Why is it loaded?
Yeah,
why? A loaded gun at a place where
he's going to enjoy himself. And apparently the safety was off, too, because the thing fired when he picked it up.
Yeah.
It's like, yep. There's just so much wrong with this. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It seems like the victim has a good prognosis, so he's going to be okay.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
But now he has a pretty good case for a lawsuit against the
FBI. Yeah! And I hope he sues the fucking pants off of him.
Yeah. And these guys are fucking trained in firearm safety.
Yeah, he's an FBI agent. Like, I guess the shit went through one ear and out the other because...
Yeah, like people... that our gun nuts wonder why we think they're all crazy people is because of idiots like this.
Yeah.
They're actually trained for properly, you know, using a gun and storing it. And
he's still fucked up.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus Christ.
And Trump and DeVos want to give firearms to properly trained teachers.
Yeah. How and they also have a committee that's going to be, Betsy DeVos said they're going to, the Department of Education is going to start a committee to investigate the causes of school shootings that will not investigate guns.
Yeah, I saw that in 2 days.
Like, if there's any more, like, naked proof that they are literally trying to do everything but look at the real problem staring them dead in the face.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. Right after that news broke, my child received an academic award with her signature and Mr. Trump's signature, and I will be getting stickers to cover them up.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
All right. Well, speaking of Mr. Trump...
could we not? But we have to.
I wish we didn't, but we kind of have to because we got a trilogy of just being an utter turd. So, as some of you have probably known, Donald Trump has recently decided to start making these tariffs on foreign goods. That is basically him trying to ignite a trade war. One of the people he's doing this towards is, of course, Canada. And, the thing is, in order to get enact these tariffs, Donald Trump has to theoretically prove that Canada can possibly be a threat to national security.
Oh, God.
And, of course, as you can probably guess, the current Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, isn't too happy with this shit, and he had a really testy... argument with Trump himself. I think it was on the phone, I think.
Yeah, it was over the phone.
And Trump basically said, well, I mean, didn't you guys burn down the White House that one time?
Talking about digging shit up. He's not even a catty girlfriend. What
this
the
is
hell?
Him. This is him Googling bad Canadian shit on Wikipedia or something like that.
So,
he's also wrong.
Yeah, so yeah. Should I...
No, I didn't say he... got any actual facts out of it.
No.
He kind of got close, but not the actual answer.
It's like, ooh, low and away.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I have to explain this. He's referring to the burning of the White House during the War of 1812, which I should point out was done by British redcoats, not Canadians.
Yeah. Exactly.
Canada wasn't even a country then. It was still technically part of the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
By the way, fun fact, during that particular conflict where they burned the White House, they ended up having to flee because there was a tornado.
Yeah, that happened somehow.
It's America. We have a lot of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just...
It's like, wow.
And I can, if this was a sitcom, it would have been pulled after one season, because no one would believe this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like what... That My Bush.
Yeah, that's My was, Bush, yeah.
Which, that was a great show. Obviously, George Bush isn't the smartest guy, but he's not that stupid.
No.
But it's like Trump is like, yeah, I gotta one-up this
we show. We do actually have a show on Comedy Central called The President Show, which is hosted by a Trump impersonator, but it's more of like a talk show type thing. Yeah.
It's like a satirical talk show.
Yeah. Whereas That's My Bush was a sitcom.
Yeah. The best thing from that show is remember when Trump was obsessed with the fire trucks?
Yeah.
He had the, what was it, like Infrastructure Week or something like that, and had fire trucks show up. At a bit where the impersonator was walking in New York, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Heard fire trucks go by. He's like, honk, 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 honk to fire trucks. That sort of shit.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there just yelling honk honk like he's a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
The fire truck's like even trying to do the pumping of your arm to get him to honk the horns.
Yeah. So the reason this is also kinda relevant is the G7 summit is coming up soon, or the G6+1 or
6.5.
Yeah. And Emmanuel Macron, you know, the current Prime Minister of France.
Yeah.
He has made it clear that, you know, he's basically said, look, if Trump wants America to be isolated, that's all his business, but we, the rest of us, have no problem, you know, going down this road without him.
Hey, he doesn't want to take any shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. Hope you're proud of yourself, Trump voters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's just the first one.
Oh, yes, because... Oh, it gets better. So... Everybody knows that Trump's been doing these sort of criminal pardons recently. He pardoned Joe Arpaio. Recently, he pardoned Dinesh D'Souza.
Mm-hmm.
There's rumors that he's planning on pardoning Martha Stewart.
Muhammad Ali. Blagojevich.
Yeah.
He said he was talking today about Muhammad Ali, and it's like, he already got pardoned.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure even if he wasn't, he would tell you to fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, this is just him trying to show he's not racist.
Well, there's another purpose for it, is that he was essentially trying to experiment to see how far he could take this thing. Yeah. And then he went on Twitter and basically just let the cat out of the bag what he was trying to do. Basically saying that, hey, you know, I can totally pardon myself even though I don't want to because I've done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to point out, he can't.
No, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
A president cannot pardon himself because a president cannot be the judge of their own trial.
Yeah, and there's also other stuff in that. It's like, there's no precedent for any of this because there's never been a president who's been indicted while in office of any.
Yeah.
So it's there's almost no legal precedent for any of this. So him and his lawyers trying to assert that there is like 100% provable, you know, things they can do. It's like, no. You just have dumb fucking lawyers that don't know what precedent is.
Yeah. For the record, Richard Nixon asked the Department of Justice this very question back in the 70s. And, of course, they messaged back to him and told him the same thing I said, which says, no, you can't because the president cannot preside as the judge over their own trial. Yeah. He then resigned from office 4 days later.
Yeah. And it's like, if you have to ask... there's probably a reason why you would need it to know that stuff. It's like you're outing yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of like he's like, you know, like
You just for a friend?
Put that out if you didn't think that, if you didn't have something on your conscience, I guess, even if I don't think he has one, but he may have had one, but I think he strangled it in the bathtub. So, but the point is, he's an idiot and he's kind of just, it's one of those things where it's like, it's like getting your hand caught in the cookie jar and then like denying for a week on end that you've done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Then just finding something else to yell about until everybody forgets about the cookie jar.
Yeah. Which is kind of what Giuliani's been trying to do. He's been trying to poison a potential jury pool, basically. Not literally, but like poison the well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crooked bastards, every last one of them. And then finally, we got another one, the last one, I promise, for tonight.
For tonight.
Yeah, so as everybody knows, the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, won the Super Bowl. And, of course, they're supposed to have dinner at the White House, right? But Trump then canceled it over what was basically a lie.
Yeah, so let's see. He said the Philadelphia Eagles are unable to come to the White House with their full team to be celebrated tomorrow. They disagree with their president because he insisted they proudly stand for the national anthem, hand on heart, in honor of the great men and women of our military and the people of our country. The Eagles wanted to send a smaller delegation, but the 1,000 fans planning to attend the event deserve better.
Yeah, so just to shovel through that mountain of bullshit. First of all, nobody on the Eagles team knelt during the national anthem.
Nope.
I mean, that shouldn't be an issue, but unfortunately, you know, he is our president, so.
Yeah.
So then, and it gets worse after that, Fox News tried to create a little bit of propaganda when they then took a picture of the players kneeling and saying that this is why they aren't getting invited because they're kneeling through the national anthem. Problem is, that photograph was not taken during the national anthem. They were kneeling in prayer.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
It's almost like you didn't do any research.
Yeah.
You just did a Google image search.
Pretty much. And for the record, I don't think any of the Eagles players were planning on going anyway.
Yeah, not that many.
No.
And, it's just him continuing to push the whole kneeling during the national anthem thing as a big issue.
Yes, but
I think he's also said that is going to be a big midterm push for the GOP. And it's like,
great. That's
really?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing they've gotten any traction on with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was hilarious to see, especially when most of the players were not interested in going. So he pulls the like the teenage girl thing. Well, you're not coming to my party then. Mm-hmm. He had the Star Spangled Banner thing,
mm-hmm.
like a big flag event with military people.
Yeah, and they were singing patriotic songs, which he clearly did not know the words to.
Yeah, they did, God Bless America.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's moving his mouth for the parts he knows, and then just like, blah, 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 for the rest of it. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? You can't even spend, 30 minutes before, just going over the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Then I guess some people knelt, to which people were like, oh, there are Eagles fans here. And they weren't Eagles fans.
Yeah.
they have a good tweet here. Torrey Smith, wide receiver for the Eagles, responding to the statement that Trump put out. He said, so many lies. Here are some facts. One, not many people are going to go. Two, no one refused to go simply because Trump insists folks stand for the anthem. Number three, the president continues to spread the false narrative that players are anti-military.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people on the team that have plenty of different views. The men and women that wanted to go should have been able to go. It's a cowardly act to cancel a celebration because the majority of the people don't want to see you. To make it about the anthem is foolish. Yeah. And he is right. And I think most everybody involved with the Eagles in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania basically said, yeah, we stand with the Eagles, not Trump.
Yeah.
The mayor of Philly, he said, let's see. He said, Trump's decision, quote, proves that our president is not a true patriot. The Eagles called the birthplace of our democracy home, so it's no surprise that this team embodies everything that makes our country and our city great.
Mm-hmm.
Their athletic accomplishments on the field led to an historic victory this year. Disinviting them from the White House only proves that our president is not a true patriot, but a fragile egomaniac, obsessed with the crowd size and afraid of the embarrassment of throwing a party to which no one wants to attend. He added, City Hall is always open for a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a lot of people, I was like, oh, the players took this away from the fans. Like, they got to see their team win their first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's way better than the fucking White House shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
guys, this is Philly. I mean, the only reason they would actually go to that Trump thing is that they could throw a battery at his head.
Yeah. Yeah, and sort of tied in with this, safety Malcolm Jenkins for the Eagles had a media interview in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than responding to obvious questions about the national anthem protests and all that, he decided to not say a single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, holding up poster board with his messages on it.
Yep.
Especially one that just says in big letters, you aren't listening when they're asking questions. Essentially as a message to everybody that tries to misconstrue what they are actually protesting, which is racial and social injustice, especially when it comes to how the police handle anything surrounding people of color.
Mm-hmm.
He posted pictures of the other signs he had. With various stats, more than 60% of people in prison are people of color. Trying to load up the other ones. Let's see here. Nearly 200,000 juveniles enter the adult criminal system each year, most for nonviolent crimes.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, 439 people shot and killed by police thus far. Let's see. It shot by police, 25% are African-American males. In U.S. population, 8% is how much of the country is African-American males.
Mm.
Yeah. And I saw PolitiFact look over those numbers, and they said they were mostly right. I think the 200,000 is a little off, or it's an older stat, and the population, the number of people killed was actually low.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 450. And then the percentages were a little off. I think it was 19% shot by police and 6% of the population. But and see the other ones, True Patriots, he put up with a bunch of players' names that also protested, including some of his own teammates and various others around the league. Colin Kaepernick gave $1 million to charity,
mm-hmm.
underlined $1 million. Chris Long gave his entire year's salary to educational initiatives. Ben Watson and Demario Davis helped push through LA House Bill 265, restoring voting rights for returning citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's all of the ones he had.
Yeah.
It's like it's a really kind of powerful way to actually respond to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying he's going to, you know, respond to the ridiculous questions that they would get and just put out his message on these poster boards.
Yeah. All right. And by the way, for that thing about Philly throwing batteries, I'm not taking that back. It's totally fucking true.
Yep.
And it's like a decades long fucking tradition. They once threw a. There was a point when Doug Pederson actually got a bunch of size D batteries thrown at his head.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which the Simpsons parodied. For their minor league baseball team. They had a Whitey Ford night, who's a mm-hmm. sort of a historic player. I guess he visited there. It was a free pretzel night. And
yeah.
So the fans would start throwing pretzels at him and eventually knocks him out.
Yeah, well,
that's the one where Marge starts the pretzel business.
Yeah, one time back in 1968, they had like a halftime winter pageant with Santa Claus, and the fans just started hucking snowballs at Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. All right, so our next story is about this ruling that happened in the Supreme Court of the United States, or SCOTUS, as people like to call it. So some of y'all may have heard the story of the Masterpiece Cake Shop. It's a cake shop that got in trouble when they refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple.
It's the Indiana one, right?
Yeah.
Colorado.
Oh, that was Colorado one? Okay.
And so we have to kind of explain this one because it's a little convoluted, because it sounds bad at first, but the actual ruling makes it kind of clear that you can't actually take it as far as you may want to. So basically they ruled in the favor of the cake shop, but they made it clear that this is not a quote-unquote religious freedom ruling. It doesn't mean that they have the religious right to discriminate against people because of their sexual orientation.
Yeah, it's basically about the Colorado Civil Rights Commission.
Yeah.
Kind of handling this initially as a local thing poorly.
Yeah.
And called them out for that.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you guys need to, you know, go back and start this over.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to make this about the freedom of religion, which all these people cite freedom of religion, and it's never in the way that it's actually set in the First Amendment.
Yeah.
Which is the freedom from persecution from the government.
Yeah.
Not from gays.
No.
You can't just say, I hate all gay people, I'm not going to make a cake for them because of my freedom of religion.
Yeah.
No, those are two different things.
And so because of this, you got a couple of assholes all over the country who have decided that this is just carte de blanche for their bullshit, even though, again, as we pointed out, the decision does not say you can do that.
Nope.
So now you got this douchebag in Tennessee who runs a hardware store putting up a right to refuse sign.
Yeah, initially this came out of him having a no gays allowed sign.
Mm-hmm.
But it came out that actually he's had that up since 2015.
Yeah.
Because, so he said in 2015 he put the sign up originally because gay and lesbian couples were against his religion. And he believed he should stand for what he believed in as a Christian. Which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Gays and lesbian couples are not against your religion. They're against you as a bigoted asshole.
Yeah.
He took it down and replaced it with another sign that said, we reserve the right to refuse service.
Which, which again, that's, you know, technically as a private business, that's true.
Yeah, but he said we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone who would violate our rights of freedom of speech and freedom of religion, which is not how that
makes
stuff
it
works.
A bit more obvious. And then there was that douchebag lawmaker in South Dakota who said that because of this, this means that stores should not have to serve black people if they don't want to.
That's just taking that's just going a completely different direction.
Yeah. Because, as we've said before, if you do one thing, this is what they're also going to start arguing for.
Yeah. As like when the whole stuff started popping up in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and this was in the lead up to the election in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Where Pence got asked about the discrimination stuff in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And he started getting flummoxed and was like, Hoosiers don't discriminate. It's like, what the
fuck? Like, motherfucker, you lost your governor's race because of that shit.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, that's the thing you're known for.
Yeah.
Is eating gay people and doing conversion or supporting conversion therapy and being friends with people that do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Being supported by fucking James Dobson and Focus on the Family.
Fucking. I mean, sorry. That was a knee-jerk reaction there.
No, it's totally appropriate.
Way too fucking many years in Southern Baptist churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a friend who lives in Colorado Springs, and it's not unusual to see people with bumper stickers on the back of their cars that says "Focus on your own damn family."
And they showed on about that group on Last Week Tonight. The founder, the guy that's at the head, somehow talked about a joke where kids called them "Pokemon in the fanny."
Yeah,
that was somehow appropriate, somehow relevant. It's like he just joked about himself or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah. So just prepare yourselves.
Yeah, yeah. The ruling has come down, so now everybody's going to start misinterpreting it. So.
Yep. And the good thing is, that because they misinterpret it, it means that they will end up going to court and getting smacked down. So
yeah.
Yay. Yeah, yay for that. Mm-hmm. All right, next story. Well, next two stories, really, come out of Canada.
Yep.
The first one is political. Guess who is the new premier of Ontario, folks? The brother of Rob Ford, Doug Ford.
Who also has his own drug issues and has never held office.
Nope.
Higher than, say, your municipal councillor.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell that is.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really speak too much because Ontario is not my province. So.
Nope. He lives in Montreal, so.
It's the same people that did the thing with Rob Ford. They said, hey, here's his brother.
Yeah.
Let's get him in here.
And apparently that worked!
That worked so well the first time, let's try that again.
Yeah, this guy doesn't do crack. He does, what, hash?
Yeah.
He's trying to sell hash or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's also a conservative too, by the way. So
yeah.
He's basically like people have compared him as the Canadian Trump, but
in that he has no real history with politics.
And he's an asshole.
Yeah. And so I guess his party did pretty well in the election.
Yeah.
Now look to be having a controlling interest in the government for the time being.
Yeah. For the time being, the Liberal Party is still in the majority. So
yeah,
obviously, because Trudeau is still prime minister. But
yeah,
but
now they're gonna have to deal with these idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hope you have fun, Canada.
See, it's not all great up here.
No,
just point that out. We do have our idiots as well.
Yeah, and. I know you guys have been so smug since Trump got elected president. Well, now you're going to start knowing how it feels.
Nah, I don't know if they've been smug. I don't think that's
not even on the same level.
Yes.
And this guy only has control of the biggest province of Canada.
Yeah, technically our nation's capital is in Ontario.
Ottawa.
Yeah,
that was.
I know that because I paid attention in social studies.
That was actually an HQ question tonight. I was in the last, I lost on the very last question, so I didn't get like $300 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I got that one right.
Yeah, but yeah, so, I mean, yeah, obviously, Canada has its group of idiots too, so.
Yeah.
And now one of them
controls
problems? Your largest province, so have fun with that.
Yeah.
So Canadians have any other problems, Brandon?
Well, other than the fact that Alberta is still part of it, well.
Well, I mean, our next story.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Alberta is to Canada what Texas is to the U.S.
Yeah. Actually, that parallel is shockingly accurate.
Yeah. Anyway, so our other Canada story for the night. There are a bunch of feral peacocks around in Canada.
Yeah, this is in Surrey, BC.
Yeah, in British Columbia. And
of course.
They've started attacking cars, you know, in the road. The ones that are especially shiny because they see their reflection in them. And if you know anything about peacocks,
Yeah, they are kind of aggressive.
They are aggressive. They're extremely territorial. They have very fragile egos, hence the, you know, the thing with the tails. Mm-hmm. And if they see anything that seems to be prettier than them, they will immediately try to tear its throat out.
Yep. And it's mating season as well.
Oh, yes.
So they're down to fuck.
And kill.
Yeah, so...
And you know those damn things can fly, right?
Yes, they can fly.
Yeah, peafowl will get up in trees and look down at you like, I'm going to fuck you up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And... yeah, so they are sort of getting into these streets, seeing these cars, especially expensive ones that are parked on the streets, and are seeing their reflections, believing them to be, you know, another peacock, and just start pecking at them, slashing with their talons, and just fucking up these cars, causing thousands of dollars of damage. And they especially note here the dark colored cars where they can see their reflection pretty well.
Yeah.
And they even know enough to try to strafe it and run around the car and get to the other side. So they try and circle around and get to the other side of the bird and realize, oh shit, it's still turned around.
Mm-hmm. This thing's smart. What they do is take a bit of mud and mess up their car.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
You know?
Or put a tarp over it or something.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to fucking see you anymore, so I'm
going
to...
Yeah, and I guess this has been going on for a while. Last month, a resident grew so tired of the birds' continued noise, he chopped down a tree they had been using as a nest.
He got fined too, and he said he didn't give a shit.
Yep. Let's see. Yeah, he got a $1,000 fine from local authorities for cutting down the tree without a permit. But said he doesn't regret it.
To his car.
And he said the last 4 years I've tried with the city from every possible angle. 40 plus peacocks are going up on my roof every night.
Oh no!
Yeah, and how
loud that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the mating season for peacocks lasts from March to October.
And yeah, have fun with that, British Columbia.
Yeah. Yeah, their loud shrieking has caused plenty of sleepless nights for locals. As one guy says, it's like living with a colicky baby from March all the way through to October. Yeah, the city of Surrey says consulted experts and handed out fines to anyone feeding the birds, but they don't have any other options for getting rid of them because the Wildlife Act does not apply to peacocks. So they're in the quote here, they're really in this gray area where there's no clear legislative responsibility. Yeah, so they're fucked.
You're kind of stuck with them. And yeah, they really need to figure out some kind of mitigation. But yeah, that's like 6 months out of the year. They're like, oh, God.
Seems like they're going to have to work with the city government to get some sort of like tarp or something.
Yeah, but tarping cars during those months, that's going to be really hot. And the first time somebody gets distracted and leaves their pet or, God forbid, their kid in there, know.
It could be as simple as like a clear tarp, maybe. It lets the light in, but obscures the sides of the vehicle enough that it's not shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would work.
Oh, all right. fucking hell. All right, so we got our kind of entertainment portion of the show going now. First story is a Microsoft story. They have purchased GitHub for $7.5 billion.
Yeah.
So what is GitHub, Phil?
GitHub is a public source repository where if you're programming, you can upload your projects to there, and then other people can contribute to them.
For like open source stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the fun little shit that you want to help Excel run better. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things you get there. I am not super thrilled with it being acquired.
By Microsoft, of all people.
Now, they're not the biggest evil out there right now. But
that would be Apple.
Yeah, I agree with that right now. Amazon is maybe bigger evil? I don't know. I don't like
We're
Alexa.
We're getting close.
I don't like Alexa. I really don't like Alexa.
Oh, yeah, the billionaire who can't solve job issues.
How to pay his fucking workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And keep them from passing out because they don't have AC in the summer.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder whether you get the funding for that.
But just saying, for this, if this was Microsoft from 5 years ago, I would have been worried.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This Microsoft, I'm not actually worried. Because they do a lot of open source already.
Yeah.
Visual Studio Code is a fantastic editor. It's actually built on Electron, which is from GitHub. Check that out. What else is there? There's the Azure Sphere, which is also open source and Linux based. So you know they're in that space. Hell, they put Linux inside of Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically this acquisition amounts to them getting where the developers are. You know, they're not developing on Windows. Some of them are, but they're having trouble with that. Development right now is web-based. It's progressive web apps. It's Android. It's iOS. And all of these people are using GitHub.
So
it kind of makes a lot of sense for them to do it. And as they've said, you know, it's like the person that they put at the head of GitHub is used to run Xamarin. And that was a basically a Linux-based version of .NET. So, I'm not as worried as other people are. There's always going to be this knee-jerk reaction when Microsoft does something. But in this case, I actually think this is probably the best outcome that could have happened because I actually don't think GitHub was making any money. And if that company doesn't make money, eventually it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens to all of your open source projects that had been hosted there?
Yeah.
That's something a lot of people don't think of.
Mm-hmm.
And there's there's alternatives too. If it really bothers you, there's GitLab. You can go over there, but you know, in a couple of years, they're going to have the same issue of scale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so down on this as a lot of people are. I think Microsoft is going to do well. Look what they did with Minecraft. You know, a lot of people thought they were going to shit all over that game when it came out, and they've actually been a super good steward for that.
It's arguably now it's more successful than it's ever been.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. Yeah. I guess we'll see. Just time will tell.
Yep.
Yeah. You can also just say it's all your fucking fault for congregating one place.
Yeah.
Making it too popular.
Yeah.
They got a nice a tweet here of somebody that's like that doesn't have the nice views of Microsoft set up. Microsoft buying GitHub feels like ExxonMobil buying Greenpeace. That's real.
It's not quite that. Now, if Microsoft bought Linux, then you should be concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you can't really buy because it's, kind of open.
Yeah.
All right.
Although, there was that time when Steve Ballmer called Linux a cancer, so they still haven't been able to live that down.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay. So now we get to the actual entertainment portion of the show. So first things first, HBO has ordered a new Game of Thrones sequel. It's going to be a prequel. It's a prequel sequel. That's going to be set during the Age of Heroes.
Yeah. So this is the long before time, 10,000 years before the events of the main show and books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Essentially going to be telling, taking place thousands of years before the events of Game of Thrones, the series chronicles the world's descent from the Golden Age of Heroes into its darkest hour.
Mm-hmm.
And only one thing is sure, from the horrifying secrets of Westeros' history to the true origins of the White Walkers, the mysteries of the East to the Starks of legend, it's not the story we think we know.
Yeah.
And so get to see some of the early Starks, see how the White Walkers came into being. And probably see a lot of like Children of the Forest and all that sort of stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and the giants and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm so in.
Yeah, I totally because that kind of one of the things about the sort of Song of Ice and Fire is that the novels basically all take place like way after the time when sort of the whole world is kind of in decay. Yeah. You know, they're going through their dark age, basically. You know, they're basically all living amongst the ruins of what was once a great civilization around them. All of the stuff of legend has basically died out or mostly disappeared or isolated themselves. I'm not sure. Is this like the right around the time when the Duncan and Egg stories take place, or is that later?
They haven't said specifically, but I think it's...
Martin, hasn't said specifically, yeah. But...
Well, technically HBO, so, I mean, they're...
Yeah.
I think they're taking liberties at this point.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, let's see. George R. R. Martin wrote the story for the pilot for this new prequel series.
All right, so he is on board.
Yeah, and he wrote it alongside Gene Goldman, who wrote for the Kingsman movies, a bunch of the X-Men films, and Kick-Ass, mm-hmm. among other stuff. Yeah, they're both co-creators, and Goldman is the showrunner.
Mm-hmm.
Earliest it would air is 2020,
all right.
A year after the last season of Game of Thrones.
That mm-hmm. makes sense. Just keep your Game of Thrones going on a yearly basis.
Yeah.
It says here, the Age of Heroes setting gives Goldman and her writers a chance to connect this prequel series to the current show
mm-hmm.
without handcuffing themselves to a well-worn narrative like Robert's Rebellion or Duncan Egg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this show is not the story we think we know, so.
Okay.
It's definitely set in a good place where they don't necessarily have to be like, oh, here's how the Rebellion went, and like, all these knowing nods to, you know, the stuff that leads into it.
Yeah. And next year, I'm guessing, and this has sort of been the sort of theory, is that next year we're supposed to get Benioff and Weiss's next project, which is Confederate, HBO. And I am legitimately, like, really anticipating that series.
Yeah.
Because if anybody can really bring home the sheer brutality of what a modern, like, Confederate regime would look like, it's these two guys.
Yeah.
Although, and I mean, it's apparently Benioff himself has said that he got the inspiration from literally the same inspiration that the Timeline 191 series by Harry Turtledove got its inspiration from. The plans and the cigar bucks that ended up getting misplaced and discovered by Union troops. I gotta admit, HBO has really been killing it, so...
Yeah, except for that Fahrenheit 451 movie, that sucked.
Yeah, it was a bit of garbage, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so can't wait to see what they come up with. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so our next story is about Netflix. It's a fucking weird announcement, but hey, I'll go with it. apparently, they're teaming up with Dolly Parton, and they're going to make an anthology series based on her songs. So apparently, at some point, you're going to watch Jolene steal somebody's man, I guess. Yep.
Yeah, so it's 8 episodes. Each episode is going to be based on a song. Yeah, she gets to executive produce as well as being the main performer that this stuff is based on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is this like the final form of a music video?
Probably.
I have no idea.
Sort of.
Well, it's not unprecedented.
She's had some stuff in the past. The movie Coat of Many Colors.
Mm-hmm.
9 to 5.
9 to 5, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll stick Christmas of Many Colors, Circle of Love,
mm-hmm.
Done by her production companies and all that, aired on NBC as holiday specials. And the way this all came out was actually pretty interesting because there was a panel for Grace and Frankie,
mm-hmm.
Another Netflix series that is done by Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda,
mm-hmm.
Two of her friends. And... I think it was Lily Tomlin basically spilled it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were asked if they would have Dolly Parton on their show. And Lily Tomlin said she's probably too busy with her own Netflix show that's coming up. Mm. And they asked her about it. And she says, based on Dolly's songs. And when asked if they would be starring on any of that, and she said yes when the script called for it.
Mm.
Basically, they were NDA'd not to talk too much about their own show, but she said, yeah, but they didn't say we couldn't talk about Dolly's show.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know what... This sounds kind of creative. I'm yeah. actually kind of into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on how it's done. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got some good songs and stuff that has actual little bits of story that could be interesting stuff.
Again, yep. Jolene
yeah.
will probably
yeah.
be taking someone's man.
Yep.
Yep.
But, yeah, so we'll see how that works out. And then, this is a story from DC. Did you like Jared Leto's Joker in Suicide Squad? No? Well, too fucking bad, because they're making a whole movie around him.
Yeah, I guess the current rumor about the plot is that he was a stand-up comic, I guess.
There's been about 8 or 9 different origin stories for the Joker.
Well, I'm talking about for this movie.
Yeah, I think yeah, they're like, sort of following the story from The Killing Joke, I guess, which is the one where he was apparently a stand-up comic and then got into some kind of like criminal deal with a bunch of criminals. He gets a bunch of chemicals dunked on him, and that's how he ended up this Joker.
Yeah, I think the best way you could do a Joker origin story is have it be, I don't know really what the right movie to reference, maybe like a Memento, where you know nothing about what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's just going through multiple versions of the same story over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's his whole thing, is he doesn't tell anybody the actual origin.
Memento or, you know, Reservoir Dogs, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole thing in the Dark Knight, is he's just telling these different people, like, oh, you want to know how I got these cuts?
Mm-hmm.
And just tells people different stories. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
That would be a really interesting Joker origin story that ultimately doesn't tell you anything canonical.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all one big, you know, joke.
Yeah.
And that's the Joker.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But obviously that's too highbrow for something like this.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is...
Jared Leto to play him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to get Jared Leto to play him again.
Yeah. He's got to shave off his hair again.
And he's going to have to start sending people dead rats in the mail, I guess, like he did last time. Because he's a method actor, you see.
Crazy person.
And yeah. He's Jesus right now, and now he's got to become the Joker.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he totally couldn't go back into the studio and make another 30 Seconds to Mars album, which I wish he would. Asshole. But.
No, there was a 30 Seconds to Mars album that came out last year. But don't listen to that, because you will hate it.
Probably. All right. Oh, by the way, before we get on to the next bit, because we got a bunch of trailers to talk about, quick science story we didn't have in here. The Mars rover actually found some organic matter at the bottom of a lake bed on Mars.
Ooh. Yeah.
Nice.
And methane.
And methane. Dang. So you know what that means.
Somebody farted.
Yep. Matt Damon farted.
No, it was the previous rover. He just
he
fell apart and he farted.
Yeah, but they actually found organic matter at the bottom of a lake bed in Mars, which now means we now have proof that, you know, plant life can exist outside of Earth.
Yep.
So, your move, Bible.
Yeah.
All right, and now for the trailers. First steps first. We got the trailer for Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet. It was
awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. A lot of people didn't get what they were quite expecting, because it kind of seemed like a big chunk of it was a Disney commercial.
Yeah.
Kinda.
But then having her, you know, end up in the middle of the princess's room was kind of worth all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's real neat because this kind of looks like part Tron, but also part kind of just Wreck-It Ralph. Like the first one where they're going into the internet, which also kind of is like the VR internet episode of Futurama.
Yeah.
Where it's like, but not that ridiculous. It's just like, here's the segment where there's pop-up ads.
And probably slightly more family-friendly.
Yeah.
Trust me, if they really wanted to get into the internet, it would probably... Well, you probably couldn't see it in the U.S. because no one would fucking release it.
Yeah. Yeah, and they go to, like, the eBay superstore where there's stuff being sold off, and they run into this, like, kitten with sad eyes. And it's... They get freaked out by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the bit with the mobile game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where the girl is playing this mobile game where she swipes the shakes right to the kitten to eat. And the pancakes go to the bunny on the left. And then they break into it. And Ralph, or Vanellope, finds a huge stack of pancakes. And Ralph is like, all right, here, bunny, eat them. Eat them all.
Just
funny. Just gets bigger and bigger until it explodes and the kid screams. And yeah, that is going to be out on Thanksgiving, I guess.
Yeah. And like we said, she ends up in the room with all the Disney princesses, and it's precious and funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
And surprisingly woke, also.
Yeah.
So, yeah, next one, we got the trailer for the Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Which was kind of funny.
Yeah, these two movies that have really stupid names.
Yeah.
Because
The first one was Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2. Which is, the icon for that is pretty nice, because it's like an iOS icon. And it has the Wreck-It Ralph part. Wreck-It Ralph 2 is the, like, notification icon on the top corner.
The badge.
Yeah. And this one for the Lego Movie 2, the second part, is really quite good. So after the events of Taco Tuesday, as they say, it's kind of turned the town into Mad Max.
Yeah.
Where everything is dusty and post-apocalyptic, and everybody is looks like Mad Max characters, except Emmett is just treating it like a normal day.
Yep.
Listening to his various remixes of Everything is Awesome. Then the Duplo enemies start to attack.
Yep.
And that's where it's boys. Pretty good. And there's also a nice part where it also gets woke, where the invader is sort of talking to them and is like, who is the master? And she's like, oh, it's Emmett here. And he scans him, and it's like, this guy doesn't seem special at all. And she's asked who the warrior is, and she's like, yeah, I do the warrior, and I do the master building and all this. And like, oh, you do everything, and this guy takes the credit for it?
kind of.
And they get kidnapped into space, and... yeah, she tries to tell them not to, you know, ooh and ah at their galaxy. They don't listen to her at all.
Yeah. And then we had the trailer for the spinoff from Transformers, Bumblebee.
Looks kind of good. I know it's not much to go off right now, but people also said it looks like The Shape of Water. Like, the girl's gonna want to fuck the car.
God damn it, Michael Bay.
Well, this isn't Michael Bay. This is Travis Knight.
God damn it, Travis
Kubo,
Knight.
Kubo. So he's got some chops on him for some good stuff. That is out Christmas. When is the Lego Movie 2? That's out next year.
Yeah,
February.
February.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, we got a trailer for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which I believe this is the Miles Morales version of Spider-Man.
Yes.
It's all of them,
well,
actually.
Well, one of, yeah.
There's three that they show here. There's older Peter Parker,
uh-huh,
who is sort of training Miles.
Uh-huh.
And then they run into Gwen Stacy.
Spider-Gwen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Then there's
all I needed to know.
There's a good bit where Miles is like, how many spider people are there? He's like, save it for Comic-Con.
What's Comic-Con?
Yeah.
This actually looks really, really fun.
Yeah, it has a really nice style to it. It looks sort of like CG clay animation.
Action, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It has like a little bit of a stilted look to it, like stop motion.
Yeah.
But it's all CG and it looks fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's a great bit with Miles and his dad all throughout it as he's really getting the ride from his dad, who's a cop, but has him sit in the back of the cop car.
Yeah.
So, like, he arrives at school, and the kids he knows from his school think he's been arrested. And then later on, he drops him off, and he says, I love you, to the to Miles, and he wants Miles to say it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just yelling out in front of all the kids. No, you gotta say it.
Yeah.
This looks real nice.
He's using the car bullhorn to do this.
Yeah.
So thoroughly embarrassing.
Yeah.
In the process. So, yeah. Looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. But, all right.
This is Phil Lord and Christopher Miller that are running this. So they did the Lego movie in 21 Jump Street.
Mm-hmm.
So some really good stuff there. And that is also out on Christmas.
Some good stuff.
Yep.
Christmas.
All right. Well, then, I do believe we got a show, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
So, I would like to remind all our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the show, or just your insane political manifesto, you can mail it into us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it listed in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can listen to our little podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org. Basically any place where delicious oral ice cream can be licked up by your ear tongues. So, with that, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins. Reminder that we probably are not going to have a show next week since we're probably going to be all drained by E3. So, just in case you want to listen to us next week and you don't see us, well, that's why. So, for Felipe D'Onofo, Chris Delogie, and Teresa Sammons, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Good night, sleep tight, and remember, the earmuffs do bite, so you might want to wear some earmuffs.